You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful that we are not strangers to your arms, and we welcome your presence this morning. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with our time and space here today. I pray that you would invite us into deeper levels of freedom in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been pondering a lot of questions about random things that I won't get into this morning about creation and the fall and God's plan for humanity, all this stuff. But anyway, it's led me down all these researching blogs and articles and things like that. And in it, I came across something that really resonated with me and spoke to my heart. And just as an introduction to what I want to talk about today, I just want to read an excerpt from this blog that I read from this a guy who, he has his MDiv and he's in ministry, but his full-time job is a physics and biology teacher in the Boston Public Schools. And so he wrote this article as a result of, as he was processing his own theology around the image of God in light of the birth of his daughter who has Down syndrome and raising a daughter with Down syndrome. And as he's processing, you know, verses like, I created you in my innermost being and what it means to be created in the image of God and all of that. And so I just wanted to read an excerpt from this article that he wrote. He said, nevertheless, in the course of loving and caring for my daughter, I have come to realize that the image of God does not need to be thought of as an inventory or a checklist of desirable human traits. Despite her evident challenges, God's image is displayed all over Natalia's life, not by means of her specific skills or talents, but by virtue of the one who endowed her with such capabilities. Her contagious belly laugh and her dancing abilities are a reflection of her purpose rather than a justification of her worth. I have come to understand God's image upon individuals with and without congenital impairments as a divine seal that denotes our intrinsic worth despite the presence or absence of any given feature. Is there anyone who can help me raise this a little bit? I know if I try, it'll fall and I'll embarrass myself, so. But I don't want to be like hunching over the whole time. So what this guy, Samuel Carabella, this educator, is trying to address here is this idea of intrinsic value, our purpose, our identity. All of us wrestle with this, all of us hustle for it, regardless of how loving or high functioning our family of origins were or were not. We all begin searching and hustling for identity really early in life. I mean, this started showing up with Ben, like, even in, like K-4. He went to this, like, little hippy-dippy Montessori school, and they wanted them to take their shoes off and put on little slippers or moccasins or something. And so he had these cool little moccasin things he'd picked out, and after one day of wearing them, he refused to wear them again because River said they were not cool. So he would no longer wear his little moccasins. And this is coming from a kid named River, so come on, dude. But, I mean, Ben is still somewhat obsessed with footwear. Like, he still wants to spend a ridiculous amount of money on footwear that he's going to grow out of in 3 months. I mean, I like footwear, too. But there's this early on, this sense of what do others think? What are the cool kids wearing? How do I fit into my world? And so this grasping for identity is something actually the Bible calls righteousness. Now, we unfortunately don't have the best translation of the word righteousness in our English language. We think of it as good or goodness. But what biblical righteousness actually means is right relationships. Right relationship with ourselves, with God, and with others. And so a severing of our right relationship with God was the primary consequence early on. Humans' desire to be their own masters and go their own way created this severing in our right relationship with God, and we have been striving to restore that severing ever since. That is at the core internal struggle and this sense of wanting to be right, wanting to have righteousness, to be restored to our Creator, our original parent, is our most primal need, and it is at the core of the struggle for identity. And so as we kind of wrap up, we're wrapping up chapter 2 of Galatians, and I want to suggest today that this question we all struggle with, which is, who am I, is best answered by whose am I? And so I also want to suggest that when we find this answer in Christ, when we find ourselves in Christ, we'll find that we are justified, that we are righteous, that we are free, and that we are loved. So read with me Galatians 2, starting in verse 15 to verse 21. It says, "We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died, so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So where and how do we discover who we are? How do we make peace with who we are? How do we feel at home in our place in the universe? So where do people find themselves? How find a sense of their identity? Well, in Paul's day, particularly among his Jewish brothers and sisters, they found themselves in their religion, in their customs, in their traditions. So the way the NIV translates verse 15 and 16 is kind of unfortunate. Most commentaries say it's actually better translated this way, and I think I have a slide for it. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So we too have put our trust in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." So what Paul was most likely referring to here by the works of the law would have been Jewish markers of identity. So you could figure out in Paul's day who was a Jew and not a Jew based on things like, we celebrate the Sabbath, Gentiles don't. The Jews get circumcised, Gentiles don't. The Jews keep food laws and won't eat with Gentiles. Gentiles will eat anything. And so the works of the law were Jewish identity markers that told the Jewish people, this is how I know I'm part of God's family, because I keep the Sabbath, I'm circumcised, I keep the food laws. This is my identity badge. Because we keep these laws, we know where we fit in God's universe. But in the 20th and 21st century, we've blown up all this sense of traditional ways of figuring out who we are, of our identity. And so today, identities are self-constructed. Every single American is constantly working on ourselves to form our identities and figure out who we are. We don't do this by a set of traditions handed down to us from generation after generation, like the Jews did in Paul's day. In our very non-traditional society, we form our identity as we go. We construct our image on social media. We do deep dives into self-exploration. We imitate famous YouTubers, or we form ourselves in the political rhetoric of our given party or our cause. And Paul here is saying, I'm no longer a traditionalist, finding myself by strictly obeying all the traditions and laws and staying true to my early cultural formation. Nor is he a non-traditionalist who believes that we self-construct our own identity. Paul gives us a totally different basis for personal identity, and is an identity built on a relationship with Jesus, initiated by Jesus. He discovers himself as he discovers Jesus. So look again at verse 15, 16. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ." Twice Paul speaks about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in these two verses, and eight times in this brief passage I was reading, Paul focuses on the person of Jesus. The focus is taken off ourselves and our attempts to justify ourselves and on to the faithfulness of Jesus. We find ourselves by belonging to Christ. The answer to who I am is found by discovering whose I am. In other words, who am I identifying with? Who's identifying with me? Who am I relationship with? Who is in relationship with me? With whom have I taken my stand? Who do I belong to? Who is my deepest commitment? And who is most deeply committed to me? I find myself only in relationship to the one who made me and gave himself for me. And it is through this relationship initiated by Jesus, by his faithfulness, that we experience the fullness of our identity as justified, righteous, free, and loved. So what does it mean to be justified? So when we think about justifying ourselves, I typically think of like, you know, I showed up recently late to the dentist and I felt all kind of shame about it because I could tell they were judging me. And I wanted to say, look, I just got back in town. My car didn't start. Dave had not told me where Abigail's chipped tooth was. I couldn't find it. We had a little thing. It was hard to get here. I had to take a different car and put it in. I wanted to do all that stuff, right? I was still late, but I wanted to justify why I was late, right? We want to explain away our behavior. And so we often want to make ourselves right again. I wanted to restore my right standing in my relationship with the dentist. And most of us try to justify ourselves all the time to people, and even to God, don't we? Well, I know I'm still nursing this grudge, but I have been really mistreated. The wound goes really deep. Or I know I've been stingy with my time and money, but at least I'm still showing up for church. At least I'm not as bad as that person. And we're ultimately trying to make ourselves feel better about this divide that we feel in our souls, this disconnect from God, from his love and his acceptance of us. And Paul is saying here, there is only one way to be justified, and it is not by anything that you do or do not do. You cannot justify yourself. You are utterly powerless to bridge the divide, to heal the relationship. It is only by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in his sacrificial death. I have been crucified with Christ, verse 20 says, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's this new identity where God looks at you and sees you whole, like he sees his own son. Through justification, what Jesus has accomplished is not that God suddenly makes you good or beautiful or righteous, is that he sees you that way. He declares you as that. I am seen and treated as if I lived and loved and died like Jesus did. By identifying myself with Jesus in his death, God identifies me as just like him in all his goodness and his love and his kindness and his courage. Theologian Richard Hooker said of justification, such are we in the sight of God the Father, as is the very Son of God himself. Let it be counted folly or frenzy or fury or whatsoever. It is our wisdom and our comfort. We care for no knowledge in the world but this, that we have sinned and God has suffered. That God has made himself the sin of people and that people are made the righteousness of God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be the righteousness of God? Well, Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And so, as I said, this word righteous, the biblical word righteous, is about being in right relationship with God, with ourselves, with each other, even the earth. Any of you remember the Finding Nemo, that kind of that crush, the turtle crush? He'd always be like, righteous, right? That was like a cool take back in the 60s of the word righteous that had gotten kind of like stale. And what is he probably trying to say? He's trying to say like right on, right? So this idea of being righteous is gaining right standing. You're right with, you're right on. So when human beings decided to be their own masters, they immediately felt like they were not right with the universe. Shame entered the scene. We feel like we don't fit into our families. We don't fit in among our peers at work. We are born with a struggle for righteousness. a need to feel right with God and others. And I think that so many of our struggles with sin are born from our attempts to become righteous, to restore these relationships. It says, but if, in verse 17, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroy, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. Ultimately, what he's saying here is I am still struggling with sin, but the answer is not to return to my own attempts to become righteous, to rebuild the very legalism I destroyed, but rather live for God. In other words, live from my new identity, from the freedom given to me by the faithfulness of Jesus. That is where my beauty and righteousness come from. And so I'm curious, is there any place that you're trying to get your beauty and your righteousness from? That you're trying to get, like, hustle for your right standing in the universe? When Paul was trying to earn righteousness, his own escape from shame, he was ultimately living for himself. He was still the master of his own universe. Paul was trying to be his own savior. He's trying to rescue himself. Paul was avoiding God as rescuer, trying to attain a right relationship with God apart from Jesus. Paul is like, your attempts at setting yourself right are futile. It requires Christ's death. And if I could have accomplished this on my own, Christ's sacrifice would have been unnecessary. Now, of course, Christ must be the object of our trust. Paul says that in verse 16, so we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ. But by focusing on the faithfulness of Jesus rather than our own faith, it kind of follows the whole trajectory of Paul's argument here in Galatians. You see, Paul's argument is that you and I are in right relation with God totally as a matter of what God did through the faithfulness of Jesus. So when you focus on your own faith as the basis of God's acceptance for you, what do you end up doing? You get anxious, right? Like, what do I do with my doubts? What do I do with my confusion? What do I do with the fact that I've been lacking in faith or lacking in faithfulness? What we end up doing is creating a new work of the law. You look inside yourself and say, I gotta believe more. I gotta try harder. I have some doubts. Maybe I'm not right with God. You start getting really anxious about the weakness of your own faith or the weakness of your own activity, on the level of your own goodness versus your badness. Your faith, your goodness, is not the basis of your right relationship with God. The basis of your right relationship with God is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. It is based on the fact that Christ faithfully lived before God and obeyed where we don't obey, believed God where we don't believe, and walked faithfully all the way to death, even death on the cross. Faith is simply our response, our resting upon, our reliance on Christ's faithfulness. Why am I right with God? Because of what Christ did. Not because of what I do or what is going on subjectively inside of me. And I simply must receive what Christ did. Rest on it, trust on it. Look away from myself and onto him. I am justified, I am righteous, I am free. Galatians 2, 19 through 20 says, for through the law I died, to the law, so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. Paul says that when you come to Christ, not only are you set free from all of these laws and traditions as a way of establishing your own identity, that you're not only set free from culture superiority by lifting yourself up and establishing your identity based on your culture, your country, your nationality, your ethnicity, but when you come to Christ, you are set free from you. The biggest problem we have, the greatest burden on us, is us. Just dragging around the weight of our own drives, our own lust, our own pettiness, our own jealousies and disappointments. Paul says, when I came to Christ, I was set free from me. I've moved from a me-centered life, which is all about my needs, my dreams, my wants, to a Christ-centered life. That is what Paul is saying. Your identity is found as you revolve around someone bigger than yourself, named Jesus Christ. And then finally, I am loved. Paul writes in Galatians 3:20, The life I now live in the flesh, I live in the by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you trust in the faithfulness of Jesus, you are justified. You are righteous. You're in right standing with God and each other. You are set free from yourself. And you can trust the source of your identity because Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Borrowed again from the guy Samuel that I quoted at the beginning, I tweaked it slightly. Despite your evident challenges, God's image is displayed all over your life, not by means of your specific skills or talents, but by virtue of the one who endowed you with such capabilities. When you discover the one who loves you and gave himself for you, you will discover who you are. Why don't we stand? We're going to take communion together. If you're a follower of Jesus, I invite you to take communion with us. We have an open communion table. John, can you grab me one? Thank you. And today we are celebrating the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and what that means for us today. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. And in the same manner, after supper, he poured out the cup. And as he poured out the wine, he said, "This is my blood poured out to invite you into a new covenant of freedom, where you no longer have to justify yourself. You no longer have to make yourself right with the world. You just receive what I have done on your behalf." Let's take the cup together. So, Lord, we receive into our beings right now just the truth of your faithfulness, that you have made a way for us to be right, to be in right relationship with God, with each other, with ourselves, that we can find ourselves in you. And so we receive, Lord, today just a fresh filling of your Spirit in every place that we need your love and acceptance, and we just need to experience it deep in our spirit. I pray you just pour that into us now. And we just say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with you, fill us with your love." We're going to move into a time of ministry, and there were two things that were kind of highlighted for me, and one of them was this sense that, is there any other source you're attempting to find your worth, to find your identity, to find your righteousness? You know, is there any other place you're trying to find it other than from your already right standing with God, out of the freedom of your actual identity in Jesus? And then the other is, where do you need to trust in the faithfulness of Jesus, not just for the big picture of your righteousness, but actually like right now in your life? Like, what are you currently going through that you need to experience the faithfulness of Jesus? Like, in other words, you can't rescue yourself. You can't save yourself from this situation. You can't heal yourself. The whole thing about Galatians is a reminder of our actual helplessness to be our own rescuer. And so where in your life do you need rescue? And so I just want to invite you, if either of those things are speaking to you or anything else that you might need prayer for, there'll be people on my left, your right, that would be delighted to come alongside and pray for you.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.